Attention all dads! Using laptops, smartphones, and other internet browsing tools may affect your ability to have children. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, back with new research on the negative impact of Wi-Fi on male fertility after this.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Are you a wannabe dad? If so, you might want to keep your laptop away from your private parts. A new study suggests that electromagnetic radiation generated by wireless devices may damage sperm and decrease fertility in men. Researchers put semen samples from 29 volunteers under a laptop for 4 hours. When the laptop was on but not connected to the web, the sperm did okay. But when they connected the laptop to the internet with Wi-Fi, a quarter of the sperm stopped swimming and 9% showed DNA damage. The moral? If you're using a laptop, put it on a desk away from the family jewels. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail.com.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Happy Friday. Happy Christmas, I believe. Here we are. It came really fast. I don't know about you. Snuck up on me, and I'm looking at the calendar going, each day we're closer. We're almost there. So anyway, I hope you're getting ready for Christmas. This is a challenging time of year for a lot of people. Christmas is a time when we think that everything ought to be just right with our families, with our relationships, with our jobs, with our homes. It's just a time when you like to think that, oh, I don't know, you could just relax and enjoy the season. And yet, for so many of us, it is not quite that easy. There are complicating factors, factors involving family, factors involving money, factors involving distance and broken relationships, and so many things that come into play around Christmas time. And it can be a really difficult time. But Christmas is that interesting paradox where Jesus came here, not so that we would have a wonderful time celebrating his birthday, but so that he could give us a gift. And the gift he gave us is the ability to thrive despite all of those things, the ability to thrive despite broken relationships and family issues and holidays that just aren't quite right. The world that we live in, I've talked about this a couple times, need to get a name for it, this 3D gravity-bound classical physics world in which we live for 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe even 115 years, not any longer than that. This realm that we're occupying for this period of time, it is just not a place where everything's going to be perfectly fine. In fact, even back in the golden days, you know, we can think back to what Christmases used to be like, right? Christmas caroling and sleigh bells and all of the traditional Christmas things. We can think of a nice merry England Christmas or whatever your heritage is and where you're folks come from, if they celebrated Christmas, we have a tendency to put on some rose-colored glasses and look back to that time and go, well, if we were just living then, before there was the internet, before there was computers and technology, before there was rampant divorce and drug abuse and all of the things that we're dealing with today, well, if we just lived then Christmas really would be a joyful and wonderful time. I can say two things to that. Number one, I grew up, as listeners know, in the 1970s. I was a kid in the 70s, and Christmas did seem a little better. It did seem a little easier. The world did seem less broken. People had their acts together more because society had its act together more. It wasn't really that we've changed as people. It's that the society in which we're marinating is got some off flavors. It's got some not very good marination going on. And back in the 70s, all of those things were underway. All of those changes were underway. And I'm going to be writing about that in my book. In fact, the 1960s and 70s, in fact, from the 1930s on, when psychedelics were discovered, 1920s, 30s, sort of in that range, the progression through the 20th century with psychedelics and drugs and falling away from traditional beliefs, and traditional beliefs being true beliefs in actual God and in goodness and in virtue and in values like that. All of those things definitely have gotten to a point now where I think if I could go back in the 1970s, if I were an adult, I'd say, stop, don't do it. It's gonna end badly. You can go back and you can find a bunch of people who were actually saying that in the 70s and in the 30s and in the 1920s, saying, stop, don't do it. This is gonna end badly. And you know, the bad ending is what we're living in. This is the ending badly part of that. But despite all of that, you look back and you say, well, there was a golden era. There wasn't really. In a lot of ways, I think people, the golden era that we look back on is a golden era of people being connected to one another and people being connected to God. But as far as their material circumstances, we have warmer houses than they do. We have warmer clothing than they do. We have much more clothing than they do. We have far less work to care for our food and clothing than they do. We have, in many ways, much easier lives, at least from a labor standpoint, than our predecessors. And there were pretty much no families that had not suffered loss, death, the death of a newborn, the death of a child, the death of a mother giving birth, the death of a wife. It was a time in which human life was much more fragile and much less likely to stick around. Nowadays, we've got wonderful technology. We've got the ability to preserve life that we've never really had before. And for many of us, we did not experience or encounter anyone in our families dying until our aging parents passed away. That was certainly the case for me, my grandparents when I was a kid, and then in my in 2019, my mom passing away. So we have, in many ways, we have it made, but in many ways, it wasn't that much better then. So what am I trying to say? It's not our material circumstances. It's not our health. It's not whether we're in warm houses or drafty houses. It's not whether we're living in times of war or times of peace. It is simply, plain and simply, boils way down to our relationships with one another. And our relationships with one another will be so strengthened and so vibrant, alive, solid, reliable, dependable. You can never really depend on someone else. I mean, I guess back then, the someone else could get scarlet fever and be gone in a flash. But the reliability of looking at someone else and knowing that you share values, and those values include honesty and loyalty and kindness and doing the right thing. Those are the values that count. And if you are surrounded by people and you have that certainty about them, and in your own heart, you have the certainty that you have that same relationship with God, that even if, I mean, the Bible says, though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will lead me on, I will still have a relationship with God no matter what. So as we're coming into Christmas and things are rough for me too. I've got my hand right up here too going, yeah, there's challenges there are, and there are more challenges this year than there were 10 years ago and more 10 years ago than there were 10 years before that. But the one thing that's changed in me is my relationship with the Lord is so much more solid than it ever was before in my life. And it makes all the difference in the world, because as we are going into the season of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of God's only Son, as he came into the world to bring light into our darkness, and we're feeling that darkness, we need to remember the reason for the season, not to be cliche here, but the reason for the season is he came to give us light in the dark. And so the darker it is, the more the light is valuable, right? You turn on the light in the middle of the day, or if you're outside and you turn on a lamp at a yard sale and in the noonday sun, you won't even really notice that light's turned on. It's when things get really dark that the light is all that much more important and all that much more valuable. If you're in a darkened cave and you're deep underground and there's nothing around you, you know, even the smallest light is explosively valuable. And the thing about God is he is not just the smallest light, he's the brightest light. So, all right, I don't even know where I was going with that other than to say Merry Christmas as we go into the Christmas season, and keep your heart where the safety is. Keep your mind where the good thoughts are, and try to slow down a little bit. I know some people are caught up in the big rush and hustle bustle. I didn't do that this year. I did not. So as a result, I have, I don't know, very few presents for people. And you know, it's interesting, the people who I have presents for, or the people who I would normally give presents to, have all preemptively, before I said anything, said to me, well, I don't really want much this year. I don't even think I want a present. Isn't that interesting? So I'm kind of glad I haven't been racing around, rushing and stressing and doing all of that. But as I'm just looking out over 2025 Christmas and saying, where are we as a human race? Where are we as the United States of America, those of you who are here? And I think that that light is more necessary than ever, and it's shining brighter than ever because, we need it. There's some darkness out there. Okay. I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
In this place, truly, God is in this place, truly, incredible, wonderful, holy, in this place, truly, God is in this place, truly, incredible, wonderful.
couple of interesting things happened in the last day or two that I've been thinking about. One of them I told you guys about yesterday. I had a friend over who had had who has had a stroke, and out of the blue, I said to her, look up on your phone berberine and stroke. And that led to probably half an hour of going, oh my gosh, this stuff fixes strokes. It cures, well, it doesn't cure, but it repairs stroke damage. And I'm not talking about permanently repairs it, but it takes the inflammatory post-stroke situation and does miracles with it. There's so many articles on it. This is as good a time as any for me to remind you to go to PubMed.gov if you want to look up any kind of medical question, right? You want to see if the supplement's working. You want to know the side effects of a drug that your doctor's given you, or you've been given a diagnosis and you want to understand what the condition is that you've been diagnosed with. You can go to PubMed.gov and you will know as much as your doctor does, because that's where doctors get their information. Well, if they're on top of things, sometimes you'll know more than your doctor by going to PubMed, because they're not always even looking at the latest research. But that's where all the medical research is. So I would caution you to be careful of things like, and I hope I don't step on any toes here, but Dr. Mercola or the Health Ranger. I have seen a number of things on their website. I might even say many, that when I went to PubMed and did the research myself, I was like, those guys are actually wrong. Like, that's not true. That might have been the prevailing belief a couple years ago, but this is, it's not the current state of the research. So take everything you hear about supplements and about any kind of treatment for any kind of situation, medical situation you have, take it with a grain of salt. Do not trust random websites on the internet. Don't even trust well-known websites on the internet. Go and do your own research. It's not that hard. You know, PubMed.gov. So I discovered berberine. Now, that same friend today called me this morning in tears and said, my dog, who is 12 years old, is going to have to be put down today. And I'm going in at noon. And I said, I will go with you and we can pray together. Well, so we get there. She got there first with the dog. Wonderful dog, Dexter, sweet dog. Sweet. Golden retriever mixed with, I have not asked what he is, just a big, chunky, healthy looking, solid looking dog, but 12 years old. So not so healthy at 12. And something interesting happened in that vet experience of putting her dog to sleep that I wanted to share with you guys. And she actually said, what are you going to talk about on your show today? I said, I'm still thinking about it. She said, can you talk about what we just experienced? I said, yes, I will. So I want to talk about it. So she got there early. And I got there about 10 minutes before noon. I went in the room and she was already in the room. Dexter was already lying on the ground. No, he wasn't even lying on the ground. He was just walking around panting and being greeting me. And he greeted me and rubbed his head against me and wagged his tail. And seemed pretty robust and vibrant and healthy, very much alive, but not at all, kind of nearing the end here, because he had some serious problems in the night and she knew that it was the end. So we're in the room and she's, of course, totally shaken up. If you've ever had to put a dog to sleep, you know, it's a horribly painful, difficult thing to do. She's telling me he's a yellow lab. He seemed more chunky than a yellow lab to me. I've been around a lot of labs, but he just seemed like really solid. But yeah, she's writing to me in my chat room. So I go in the room and I began to pray. So I was sitting in a chair over on the side and she was there, you know, petting him. And they came in and they administered a sedative so he would start to calm down. If you've never been through this process, it's really tough. I went through it with my American Eskimo dog, Yuki, a couple years ago, and it was just heartbreaking. But here's where things shifted a little bit. So here we are in this, you know, heartbreaking situation where someone that you love, you're going to be saying goodbye to a dog that you love. And if anybody out there wants to tell me that dogs don't have souls, I'm going to tell them, if you've ever owned a dog, if you've ever looked into a dog's eyes, if you have ever interacted with a dog, they definitely, most definitely, there is life in there. There's life in there that God placed, and it is an individual soul. And so it is my personal belief that we will see our pets on the other side. I really do believe that, because why would God create so much life, so much energy, so much personality, put so much of himself and his spark into an animal only to then just erase that animal? Just doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't. And I know that we're, you know, we're a little lower than the angels, and we're above all the animals, and human beings are particularly special, and I absolutely do believe that we can reason in a way that animals cannot. But there's something of just their heart, their love, the just something of their essence that I do not believe that God would snuff it out. So anyways, we're there, and I'm see if I can describe how I was feeling. When I was, let's see, 1999, in 1999, when I started on my journey that I'm on now, the journey that had me writing Spy Chips and traveling the world and speaking to media and talking to millions of people and doing, you know, going from being a graduate student and a recent mom and a new wife to being, I don't know, on TV and radio and doing all the things that I've been doing, that all came about, and I've never really told my testimony on the air, but it all came about through a blast, and I'm talking an explosion blast of light and of God. Some people come to the Lord through childhood, I guess I did at age 9. People come to the Lord in a lot of different ways. He pursues us in a lot of different ways. But in my particular case, what he did was explode light inside of my entire being. And the closest I can think, I've read stories or, you know, people's personal stories, particularly saints, you know, back in the day, because those are the only ones who really wrote of their conversion experiences, who had this experience of just being filled with light, just completely illuminated. So I've read about it happening, and it actually happened to me. It really did, and it lasted a couple days. It was intense, and what I experienced was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. Light and love and an awareness that this thing, I'm always talking about this 3D thing, you know, that room you're in, that wall you're looking at, that tree you're seeing, that this is just, it's going to pass away. This is like a vapor. And I saw that and I felt it so clearly. Maybe it's the reason why I'm able to understand that and see it that way today and now on the rest of my life because of that experience. I've heard that people, some people who've had near-death experiences who have, well, not near-death, but, you know, died and come back to life, report the same thing, that they didn't even want to come back because the light and the love and the goodness and the brightness and the whatever that is, I experienced that complete love that is, it knows no bounds, it has no future, no past, it is just complete love, and it is an ocean of it, it's an atmosphere of it, it's not even an ocean, because an ocean has a top and a bottom, it's just everywhere. And my own grandmother, actually, my mom's mom, had a near-death experience and had that same exact thing happen to her. So I know some people, some people are like, I read about those. I don't know if the people are making it up, but I don't think my grandmother was going to make that up. So you hear a lot of people say, I died and I was gone and I was out and I was this and I was that and I experienced this and I didn't want to come back. And I was told, you got to return. And so from that place, from that incredible, bright, beautiful, lit up, wonderful place of love and eternity, this world around us is just such a pale, pathetic shadow, honestly, in comparison, that people don't want to come back. It's not that people, when they die, are, oh no, let me back my life. I need my life back. They're like, oh my gosh, I thought that was living. This is something entirely, you know, on a whole other level of fantastic. So I was sharing this with my friend. And I was sharing this experience that I had, and I said, and this is what I strongly am just feeling right now, is that Dexter, from 1 minute, you know, 1 minute he's going to be here with us in this kind of pale shadow of reality, and the next minute he's going to be experiencing that from a doggy perspective, right? What is that? The best squirrel you ever chased has nothing on this. the best steak you ever ate, nothing on this. The best ball you ever chased, So whatever it is that thrills a doggy soul to its core, God's got that for your dog when he dies. He just does, because that's who God is. He's just love. He's not going to say, oh, you're... It's love. It's so good. And so as I was... and then something else too. So as I was getting... my son came with me. He's home from college for Christmas. And so he was waiting in the car. He's reading his Bible. And I told him, you know, we're going because we're saying goodbye to the dog. And he said, well, you know, I want you to tell her. I want you to tell her something. And this was such wisdom coming from my son in his 20s. He said, I want you to tell her that he is going to cross over into something that is so good. Like right now he's with us, but pretty soon he's going to be with God. And I was like, darn, that's beautiful. So anyway, I shared that with her. And something shifted in that whole process. Something shifted. And instead of being, you know, an older, struggling dog in pain, we realized that he was going to be in the arms of someone who loved him even more than his owner did. And that's Jesus. So it's so, just, it changes everything when you realize that the things we're holding on to, the things that we're grasping in this world, there's something so much better, so, so much better that we'll want to let this go. We will. Yeah. All right. I'll be right back. Catherine Albrecht here in a pensive and philosophical mood. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
For I have chosen you, don't be afraid, for I am with you, don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up.
And he does. And he does. He, the fact that we have a God that became human, the fact that we had a God who suffered, the fact that we had a God who had friends who died and he cried, that is incredible. You may recall a couple months back, I was on my anti-Eastern religion rant, and I was talking about Irina Toidi, the woman who went to India in, I don't know, the early 60s, late 50s, and studied under a guru, and how she said to the guru, he said, why are you here? She said, well, you know, I wanna worship a God who's not just in the image of man. You know, I don't want to worship a God that, you know, people say has been just, is like a human being. I want to worship a God that is some kind of epic out there, huge thing. I don't know what she was thinking. And, you know, I thought to myself, there are no other religions, actually. There, you know, well, first of all, there's only one true religion. And I know that, by the way, after spending my 20s trying to look into all the other religions. I got the Bhagavad Gita, that's the Hindu book, and I got the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and I read the Book of Mormon, and I read the Quran. I didn't read too much of it because I hit the part where it said it's a demon. It actually says that in the Quran. I can't, I haven't been able to fight it again, but I hit it. I was like, okay, I'm not going to look here. I went to Japan. I went to temples. I looked because God told me, seek me. Seek Me. This was before my bright light explosion experience in 1999, but probably back in the, I don't know, when did I get that? I don't know, early 90s? He said, "Seek Me." And I had gone so far from God. I had gone so far from Christianity. I wasn't following any religion. I was just following what I wanted to do. And God touched me and said, or spoke to me and said, "Seek Me." And I didn't know who was talking to me. I was like, "Okay, I'll seek you." I went all over the world. I went to Japan. I walked into temples. I did all these things that I told you about. And I looked everywhere except... except the faith I had been raised in. I looked everywhere except to Christ. I did not look to Christianity. I was looking at all these other places, you know, thinking like everybody else that the Eastern religions are where it's at because they're deeper and they have some kind of magical peace and love thing going on and they've really got the deep secrets. And they don't. They don't. I figured it out then that they didn't. And I've been ever since figuring it out even more. But Irina Tweedy, like so many other people, maybe like me, was saying, I'm going to go find God and I'm going to look everywhere but Christianity. You know, the irony of that is she says, I want a God who isn't just a person. And I'm thinking, no other religion that I looked into had a God who ever deigned to come down to earth and humble himself and be one of us. That's incredible. That's incredible. And that's the truth. That's the God who made us, loved us so much that he wanted to come and dwell among us and share our frailties and share our weaknesses and share our pains and our sorrows and experience walking in this world, being cold, being hungry, being human, having muscles that ached, cutting himself probably as a carpenter multiple times, hitting his thumb with a hammer or cutting himself with a saw and actually bleeding and having to bandage it up. What God is going to understand that in these other religions, these fake religions? No, because their gods are so high, so much more wonderful and awesome and huge and really dismissive of us little ants as humans. But not our real God, not the real God. The real God loved us, made us, and came and dwelt among us. And that's really what Christmas is about, isn't it? That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating having a God who actually came and dwelt among us and who understands how sad it is when a dog dies, or understands how sad it is when your friend dies, or understands how sad it is when you're shunned by your community. You know, like the woman at the well who went to the well at a time of day to draw water when nobody else would be there. And the reason she did that was because everyone hated her. And she didn't want to go to the well at a time other people would be there. She was hiding out from other people. How many of us feel that way? A lot of the time. And Jesus understands that, right? He comforted the woman at the well. He spoke to her. He blessed her. And that's our God. That's our God. Our God who understands what it is to be lonely, what it is to be persecuted, what it is to be hated, mocked, spit on, nailed to a cross, wrongly accused, thrown into prison. Terrible stuff. He knows it all. He knows every bit of it. There is no suffering that you have gone through that he does not understand. And his compassion is infinite. And so as I was with my friend, and she gave me permission to give her name, it's Mary, my friend Mary, as I was with Mary at the vet today and really feeling just a tremendous amount of compassion and sorrow. It's not my dog. I just met Dexter. I don't know him very well. But I could feel the desire to comfort my friend and the sadness of what was happening. And I prayed, and that's what I got. That's what I got was love. Just love. Like, it's going to be okay. Everything is okay. He's going to be okay. Don't worry about him. He's fine. I got this. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? I have another friend who may be listening right now. I won't give her name out. But she was very concerned about a member of her family that she was worried she may not be able to care for forever because the members of our family are depending upon us and for some reason we're not there anymore. What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? And the same, I just had this overwhelming answer. I don't even know how to put it, but this certainty that if you love your family member so much that you're afraid to leave, if you love them so much that you're thinking about them day and night and concerned for their future, how much more does the God who made them and made you, how much more does God love that family member? So much more than we could. How much more does God love Dexter than Mary loved Dexter? So much more. And that's incredible, because we think when we really love, we think nobody could possibly understand the extent to which I love this dog, or I love this family member, or I love this dying relative, or I love this person. Nobody could ever understand. But you know what? God understands, because he loves that person more than you. And if you trust, and this is where life stops being so stressful and difficult and scary, is when you trust. And I told you this the other day. I did not start off with lots of faith, because nobody else does. Nobody does. You can't start with faith. You can't start by having lots of faith. You start by having a little mustard seed, a little grain of faith. And with that little grain of faith, experience in time and maturity teaches you that you can really trust. How do we know that if we drop a ball, if we hold an orange over our heads and let go, that it will fall to the ground? Well, we know that. Well, not because books tell us that, not because physicists have done experiments and written them up. We know that because every single time in our entire lives that we have done that, it has fallen to the ground. Have you ever dropped something and had it not fall to the ground? I don't know about you. I haven't. It is a law, right? That's a law of nature. God is the same way. He is a law. And to the extent that it seems that he doesn't act according to the law, it's not that he's not following the law. It's that you just need to learn a little more about how the law works. And so that's the amazing, that's what I love about being older, about being more mature, about having had so many years of trusting him and walking with him since that illumination experience in 1999, that initially I was like, whoa, you're real. Here you are. Oh my gosh, you're really real. Oh, and it was like an overwhelming, how could I not know that, right? It was an over. I couldn't, there's no faith involved in that moment at all. Those couple of days that I was illuminated, it was like, oh, I get it. Okay, whoo, yeah, I get it. You're here, you're real, I get it. But then after that was like, well, what does that mean? Who are you, God? This God that is all light and love and just showed me all that. But now I'm just back to being me again in this 3D world, walking around. Who are you? What are the rules? How do you operate? How can I trust you? And what I've been learning, and I learn it more and more and more every month that goes by. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know new stuff. And the thing that I've learned is he, number one, is 100% trustworthy. You just can trust him. If he says something, it is true. And if the Bible says something, it is true. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Taste it. Don't test him. Do this or else. No, taste and see. Give him a shot. Try. Have a little faith. Have your little mustard grain of faith and say, I choose to trust you and believe in you. Let me see how this works out. And he'll show you. It's so cool. And it just gets better and better and better. And the only time that I'm not feeling it is when I'm not in alignment, when I'm not right, when I'm not doing my part. Because he always does his part, always, always. So, yeah. So I guess I'm in a philosophical mood because just issues of life and death and really thinking, and issues of Christmas and issues of thinking, who is this baby who came into the world? Who is the Son of God, who became a man and suffered? And it's not just that he suffered being nailed to the cross. He didn't need to come into the world and experience hunger and cold and be sleep deprived or, you know, experience all of the difficulties and get mosquito bites and who knows what all else. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He did because he wants to be able, he wanted us to see that he's one of us and we're one of him.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Thank you.
Is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. He'll be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. The Lord is a faithful God.
Blessed are those who wait. And He will respond to the sound of your cry because He understands it. Totally gets it. So all of these religions who say, you're just creating God in your own image. No. God did that. He created us in His image, and then He stooped down and became one of us and lived among us and knows every single pain that you ever experience. Let's see. Some housekeeping. So, where do I even start with this? All right, so I started years ago, I was a radio guest on lots and lots of shows. I was a TV guest. I did tons and tons of things after 1999. By the way, that 1999 Illumination experience is what led me to figure out how to write HTML in one night. Haven't been able to do it since, but in one night I made a whole website, which was my supermarket card fighting website, and Caspian, the organization that I created in 1999, Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. And then I did lots of interviews and lots of TV. And then I got my own show in 2008, I think. I became a radio host, maybe a little earlier. And in that, during that whole period of time, is when I interviewed Robert Beans, B-E-E, two E's and an N-S, B-E-E-N-S, who is the owner of, at that time, a search engine called Ixquick, which later turned into StartPage. And I thought it was super cool that they had a private search engine, because at that time I had just begun learning about the reason why Google provides this super helpful service to tell you every answer you ever wanted to ask. But they're not a utility. They're not a nonprofit. They're not in the business of helping you in order to help you. They're in the business of making money. And the reason they answer all your questions is just like it says in that ad about Start Mail, about the free email services. They offer you all the answers for free as bait to get you on their website so that you will use their services to get the answers to your questions, so they'll know what your questions are in the first place, so they can market stuff to you, so they can make a lot of money. And I was just figuring that out back in, 2008, and I got this tiny little search engine based in the Netherlands, this Dutch search engine called Ixquick, I-X-Q-U-I-C-K, and I interviewed the owner, or the founder, Robert Beans. So I had him on my show. It was a great interview. I was so fascinated. I thought, we need more of this. And so after the show, I offered to help him promote the service in the U.S., and long story short, StartPage, came out of that. I found out they owned the StartPage name, and I said, well, why are you calling yourselves IxQuick? That's really hard. StartPage is the right name because it's the place where you start your search on the internet. You go and you do your search, and it would basically, StartPage what delivers Google results, and they're actually results from Google that have been completely anonymized, and the only reason Google works with a tiny little company, StartPage, is to avoid antitrust accusations. So they figure StartPage is really small, so they might as well just give them the search results. And then StartPage doesn't tell them anything about anybody. So StartPage submits the query to Google, gets the answers, and then delivers them to you and doesn't make any records. So there could be 20 million searches on StartPage a day, and Google has no clue who they are and can't serve any ads because of them. All right, so that's how StartPage worked. I helped to grow that company from 65,000 searches a day to about 7 million searches a day. And in 2016, I had to step down from my work with StartPage because my own life had gotten pretty challenging. That's why I was in a desert for 7 years. Whole other story. But when I started working for them, I think in 2009, it took off. I was telling people about it. I was going on the radio. I was I use StartPage as my personal search engine to this day. So I told people, stop searching on Google. Every single thing you search for, they're making a record of. It can be subpoenaed and used against you. It is being used against you in a myriad of ways. And of course, now Google, all these years later, is now using Gemini, the AI. So in addition to Google, you're also interacting with an AI that's making those records as well and knowing even more about you. So StartPage took off and was super popular and grew a lot. And in 2012, it had grown so much that we were doing so well that we said, we need to have a spin-off product. So we created StartMail. And StartMail is the private email service that you hear the ads for, and they're paying for sponsoring me being on the radio, and they've kind of brought me back to life in this last year to have, you know, a studio and podcasting and do all the stuff that I do. So that is StartMail. Now, what people do not know, though, is that in, I think it's 2017, 2018, right around there, shortly after I left, Robert Beans sold StartPage. So it is StartPage and StartMail are no longer owned by the same company. I continue to use StartPage as my search engine because it continues to be private and give good search results, and it's awesome. But it is not owned by the same people. So I no longer have any say or sway or involvement in StartPage. It has been sold to an American company, and it is doing sort of its own thing, continuing to be private, but doing its own thing. I mention that because on StartPage, which is my search engine, I don't search on Google because that would be stupid. On StartPage, I have begun seeing ads for something called Vanish AI that came out on November 15th of this year, 2025. And my friend Ray contacted me and said, have you seen this? And yes, Ray, I've actually since started paying attention and I am seeing it. Vanish AI. StartPage, which is a company that no longer has anything to do with StartMail, not our company, they have come out with a private way for people to use AI, Claude, which is Anthropic's AI, and ChatGPT, which is OpenAI's AI. And through this paid service called Vanish AI, StartPage, which I'm no longer affiliated with, is offering people the ability, or has created for people the ability, to use AI, interact with AI in a way that does not record what they're saying to AI. Right? So it's kind of like interacting with Google without Google recording your searches. Okay. So I tell you that because if you're looking at StartPage going, well, wait a minute, Catherine's opposed to AI. Why is StartPage doing that? Because it's no longer anything I am involved with at all. I'm horrified. I think it's terrible. I think giving you a private way to interact with AI would be like giving you a private way to shoot heroin or do some other completely toxic, horrible thing to yourself. I think you shouldn't do it. Don't use it. I hate AI. I'm not going to use it. I don't think you should use it. And I'm not endorsing this in any way. I'm just letting you know when you see it and you're like, wait a minute, Catherine, I thought, So I'm not affiliated with that. All right. Now, with that said, let me tell you the thing that we are doing at Start Mail. All right. So Start Mail is still owned by Robert Beans, who is now one of my dearest friends, just a wonderful, wonderful, trustworthy, honest, good man who loves privacy and also hates AI. That we just launched something, and it's going to be coming out tonight. If you guys have ever listened to Caravan to Midnight with John B. Wells, he was the weekend host on Coast to Coast AM. That's where we first met, because I've been on Coast to Coast like 50 times. And he was the weekend host. He's the one with the really deep, really gravelly, good, wonderful voice, that deep voice. And Caravan to Midnight, you can listen to it. You can actually look it up. It's all over AM radio stations, FM radio stations. It's a huge show. I'm going to be on it tonight, and we are going to be announcing the launch of Caravan Mail. Caravan Mail. Caravan Mail is a partnership between Start Mail, which is private and wonderful and totally AI free, and I'm involved because I was one of the founders, and Caravan to Midnight, which is a radio program that reaches millions of people. We have, in addition to Start Mail, we are launching Caravan Mail, which is this partnership that is completely powered by Start Mail. All of the Start Mail promises, assurances, and customer service, and everything is basically Start Mail, but it is for the Caravan to Midnight community. And that is a community that is openly opposed to AI. That is a community that very much wants to protect its ability to use the internet and use the tools and communicate as the boom begins to drop with AI. So all of the other email programs, and I've said this to you guys before and you hear it on my radio show or on my radio ads, all the other emails like Yahoo and Gmail and Apple Mail, they all are allowing AI to read your email. And that is incredibly dangerous. So Caravan Mail, caravanmail.com, and Start Mail, startmail.com, are both completely AI free. We have an AI free pledge on both websites, and we're going to continue to protect communication privacy through private email. Regardless of what Start Page does or AI does or anybody else does, you can count on Start Mail, startmail.com, to be AI free, and now Caravan Mail as well. So if you want to tune in tonight, I think I'm going to be on probably around 10:30 Eastern time. Tonight is what they call naked lines. I guess that just means because they open up the phone lines to anybody who wants to say anything. They'll have a number of different guests on, and I'm going to be the guest on for about 15 minutes at 10:30. And then we're doing our official lunch on Monday, December 29th. So I'll be on for an hour and a half talking AI, talking trash about AI. All right. Have a great weekend as we get ready for Christmas. And like I said, remember the reason for the season. All right. Love you guys. See you on Monday. All right. See you. Yeah, I will. I'll see you Monday. All right. Bye-bye.